When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This year marks 250 years of circus in the UK. For Paul Carpenter, or should I say Mr. Popple, that is a big deal. He is one half of the Popolinos, a comedy clown duo that has been going strong for 16 years, along with Chris Freer, otherwise known as K-Cole. The two serve as managers of Circus Wonderland, but every night, for every show, they transform into their clown alter egos to entertain and bring joy to the crowd. While there may be a variety of entertainment on offer at a circus, it never really feels complete without clowns. But what do we make of clowns? For some people, they can seem nightmarish rather than enjoyable, although you probably have films like It to thank for that. So how do you find yourself living a life where you transform into a clown on a regular basis? Are they as scary as people think? And what is life like as part of a travelling circus? On this episode, Mr. Popple explains all of this and more, as well as their own little service called Clownselling, designed for those who might not have gotten over their fear of clowns. Brought to you by Essex Live, this is Humans of Chelmsford, and this is Paul Carpenter's story. Paul, it's a very warm welcome to the podcast. And we can't let it be said that we don't cover a diverse range of topics on this show, because today we are quite literally clowning around.
Oh, well done.
I apologise for that. And I say that because, as I mentioned in the intro, you are a clown, Mr. Popple. And you are one half of the Popolinos, along with Chris Freer, better known as K-Cole.
As K-Cole, yes.
So the two of you have been working together as a duo for, I think, 16 years, you said before?
That's right, yes.
How does that all come about in the first place?
I always loved the circus, but when I was young, I thought it was something you really had to be born into. I'm not from a circus family, and nor is K-Cole, but like me, he really loved it from an early age. My father took me to see a circus once when I was 4 years old as a surprise, and it just completely mesmerized me. I got home, I turned my toy farmyard into a toy circus, I started collecting clowns and posters, and yeah, it was like a changing moment in my life, I guess, but I didn't really think then, I don't think anyone thought then, what would become. But I always loved the circus, but I was also into performing arts and theatre, and went to youth theatre and all of that, did a degree in drama. And then what happened was I saw an advert in the Stage newspaper for young people wanted to train as clowns. And I thought, well, that'll be fun. It's a sort of a gap year. A lot of my friends were going off back backpacking as they do. And I thought, I'll join the circus for a few months. And so that's how it all started. I worked for a small family circus. There were four of us taken on because they had their son in the family had a fire engine and he needed people to work the act with him. So basically we were firemen. We came in with this mini fire engine with the ladders and the buckets of water and lots of mess. And yeah, that's how it all started. Then after that, I moved into theatre, doing comedy, magic, musicals, but always loved the circus. And kept in touch with some of the friends I'd made in the circus from that experience. And then I met Chris, who was working in another show as Kay Cole. And I used to go and visit the circus where he was. And everyone used to say, oh, you two would make a great double act. It went from there, really. The thing was, Kay Cole is really the funny clown. I'm a clown, but I'm not funny. I'm the serious clown. I'm the white-faced clown, which means I'm a very traditional figure with the white makeup, the white pointed hat and the very elaborate sparkling costumes. I'm very glamorous. And basically, I'm the straight man to Kay Cole's messing about. I tell him off. He upsets me, takes the mickey out of me. And that's where the comedy comes from. I'm really the straight man to him. But when we first started, I wanted to be the funny one because that's what I'd always done in pantomime. I'd be wishy-washy or buttons. You know, I didn't want to be like the one that all the kids hated because I do get booed when I'm horrible to Kay Cole. It's over time it's become very successful, and now I've learned that it's better to be booed than have no reaction at all.
Any type of reaction is a good reaction.
Bring on the hate, I don't mind now.
So when you first saw that advert, that to be a clown, what was it about a clown that sort of appealed to you? And Have you always had that sort of love affair with the circus and those traditional acts?
Well, that's it. I'm always sort of fascinated by the circus, just the magic of it, the way an empty field is transformed overnight with, you know, it appears in the night out of nowhere, the tents, the lorries, the caravans. And back in when I was a child, the animals were a big part of it as well. It was so exotic, you know, with the elephants and everything else. And then a few days later, it's disappeared again and it's just an empty patch of ground, maybe a ring of sawdust on the floor, and that's all that's left. And that always fascinated me, the magic of it. And so when I saw the advert to join the circus, I just thought, I'm going to go for it and really live my dream. It was more... The dream wasn't to be a clown as such, it was just to experience the whole circus lifestyle, I think, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned right at the start that you didn't really come from a performing family background,
right,
if you like. So where does that passion originally come from? Is it being inspired by other things that you've seen and you think, I want to taste what that life is like?
It's a good question. I mean, my father was a bank manager. So there's nothing really in my family of an entertainment, you know, in the family. But I guess my parents were great because when we were young, they used to take my sister and I to shows all the time, to circus, theatre, concerts. We were all, you know, I was doing my drama classes. My sister was at ballet. And, you know, we were always brought up to, like kids today, are sat in front of PlayStations hours and hours, whereas... Back in the day, and making myself sound so old, but we were, you know, we loved to go and experience live entertainment. We would play for hours in the garden with our friends, building camps and castles, and, you know, we even did a circus in the garden. We made a tent with blankets hanging off the washing line, and, you know, with playing with all the kids in the street. And I think today kids don't really experience that because I guess you're too scared to let your kids out on the street these days, which is very sad. And I know from my nephews and nieces, they sit all day playing their games. They're online talking to their friends on headsets, playing these games, which is great. But you see it when people come to the circus, the kids don't know how to behave in that environment now. They sit there, they don't know how to join in always, or they sit there with their iPads watching the show through the screen because they're filming it. Sometimes you just see a row of screens looking at you, you know, so they're not necessarily clapping, and it takes a lot more effort to get them joining in because they're not trained to do that. They're not used to it. It's a television audience.
Did you have a very creative imagination then when you were younger? You might not have needed all that iPad sort of pieces because it just comes from your head.
Yeah, I mean, I was always, like I say, drawing, painting, making things. I used to write plays with my friends and perform them at school. I had a model theatre. We used to like little plays in the theatre with all the little figures. We were always doing stuff like that. Yeah, so I guess it was, I had something in me trying to get out.
Is that maybe being lost a little bit then with the arrival of your computer games and your iPads and things like that, that kids maybe aren't being subjected to that as much as you say were when you were growing up?
I would definitely think so, and I'm sure a lot of kids out there are still creative, but I think it's an easy option now for parents, isn't it, to just entertain the kids by putting the iPad on, or, you know, DVDs, sit in front of your PlayStation, I've got things to do. It's a very easy option, isn't it, if you want a quiet life and you're busy as a parent. But I think kids should be encouraged to experience live entertainment. You know, with the circus especially, you never know what's going to happen next, which is why I think it is so exciting. You know, a film is a film. A theatre where you see a play, it's done to a script. With the circus, it's that element of danger. It's, you know, when some of the acts are dangerous, the trapeze and all the different, you know, will he make it? Will he be all right? Very rarely it happens, but accidents can happen. There's that potential of danger. And it's also that amazing human achievement. And then you get the comedy, you know, and it's, you just don't know. It's always something different. That's why the circus works. The family can go and see the show. The kids might like the clowns. The dad might like the beautiful young lady up high on the trapeze. The mum might like the hunky male acrobat working without his top on. But there is something for everyone. Everyone has their own favourite element. And I think that is the joy of the circus.
Exactly. And the Popolinos, you touched earlier a little bit on what the act entails, i.e. you're the serious one. And Chris K. Cole is the funny one, or the mischievous one, yep, if you like. What kind of reactions are you trying to gauge from your audience that makes it such a success?
Well, I think the success of the Popolinos is because of K. Cole's character. He is like a big mischievous kid. He's very naughty. He's very cheeky, especially to me. And I think that's where the humour comes, because the kids love that, because they would love to be cheeky like that to their teacher or their uncle or their father, but they probably wouldn't quite dare to do it. But K. Cole just does it anyway. He upsets me, takes the mick out of me. There's always lots of mess and mayhem. And sometimes we do get the children coming in that are a little bit scared of clowns. Or maybe just scared of the whole environment of going into the tent, because it's quite dark with all the lights and the music. But when they get to know K. Cole's character, by the end they want to meet him, have a photo, and they're completely on Team K. Cole. They are a little bit more wary of me, because I tell him off and I'm the authority figure, but they like to laugh at me, and, you know, they're quite fond of me, I think, in their own way as well. I do have some fans, but
the ones who like the authority.
Exactly. But, you know, they like having their photos with us and everything else. But yeah, it's a lot of circuses now, the clowns aren't really clowns. I know that's a funny thing to say, but there has been a lot in the media about clowns being scary, and the whole thing of clown, it's called coulrophobia, the fear of clowns, and it does seem to be on the increase, not helped by movies such as It. A couple of years ago there was that craze of people wearing rubber clown masks and jumping out on people in the street when it was near Halloween, and it got a lot of attention in the media, and we were actually getting people phoning up the circus saying, oh, have you got any scary clowns? And of course we're not going to try and scare people, but we've been very conscious of that, and it's something we do hear a lot with people walking in the tent. Oh, I don't like clowns, I'm scared of clowns. But then I kind of think, well, why have you come to a circus? But a lot of circuses now, the clowns, they have very minimal makeup. They're more like an eccentric comedian than a clown as such. You know, they wear sort of maybe a dark suit and not much, just a little touch of red on their nose. And their routines really rely on pulling people out of the audience and making them do little sketches. And the comedy comes more from making the people look silly than from the actual clown himself. Whereas we firmly believe still that the children and the families that come to Circus Wonderland, they expect the clowns to be clowns, cartoon characters, the clowns that you still see in the children's picture books. They expect a cartoon come to life with lots of mess and mayhem and things flying around. And I think the circus needs true circus clowns, colourful, larger-than-life characters, and that's what we're determined to do. Yeah. But I wouldn't say it's a dying tradition, but it's a tradition that we're really trying to keep alive.
I was going to say, is that clown phobia, if you like? Does that ever cause a problem for you? Because you mentioned It, for example. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, it's probably Ashes to Ashes. If you ever saw that TV show, which was the sequel to Life on Mars.
Right.
And there was a scary clown in that as well who kept popping up behind things. But I know you do things like Clownsling, which is very aptly named. Does that ever cause a problem for you in your profession, that you need to change these people's perceptions back to what the idea of a clown originally was?
Well, the upsetting thing is it's become a cliche now that clowns are scary. And if you mention to someone what you do, I'm a clown. Oh, I'm scared of clowns. Well, are you really, or are you just saying that? And we get a lot of, like, the teenagers come in and the girls start screaming, but they're doing it for effect. Look at me. It's just to make a scene. But we have met people who are properly scared. We had a lady that was shaking, crying, didn't want to go in the tent. She had people around her saying, come on, you've got to get over this, walking her in. And to me, that is someone with a proper clown phobia, not just someone saying it for effect. But the thing is as well, children are so susceptible. When they hear their parents saying, oh, I don't like clowns, clowns are scary, that immediately puts it in their head. A child won't be scared of a spider until it sees someone else going, oh, I don't like spiders, you know, and that creates it in their mind. A few weeks ago, we had a man come to the ticket office window. The show hadn't even started and he wanted a refund. And I said, you know, is there a problem? He said, yes, my little girl won't go in. She's in tears. I can't get her to go in the tent. Can I have my money back? And I said, well, you can, but can I ask what is the problem? Her mum's told her that clowns are scary. And that was enough. She didn't even want to go in. And I think that is really sad, you know. At the end of the day, we're only trying to entertain people. You know, we're not setting out to scare people. It's, you know, a very old tradition, especially with myself as the white-faced clown. I'm now the only white-faced clown in the UK, whereas at one time, the white-faced clown was a traditional figure you'd see in all the major circuses. You'd have a ringmaster, but you'd also have the white-faced clown as that authority figure. In Circus Wonderland, I combine both roles. I am the compere of the show within my clown character, and that gives the opportunity for Keiko to come in and out all the time, upstaging me and interrupting me, but I'm there as the compere, trying to keep the show running smoothly, so that brings lots of opportunity for him to come in and where our comedy starts. But yeah, at one time, you know, all the circuses in the heyday of circus in the 40s, 50s, 60s, there would always be a white-faced clown. And we do get the older generations coming in, like the grandparents, and they say to me, it's so nice to see the white-faced clown. You look so elegant. We love your costumes. And they tell me that they remember seeing it when they were young, going to see Billy Smart's circus or Bertram Hill's circus at Olympia. And they say, oh, I haven't seen it for so long. And they really appreciate that. But the other side to that is the children don't understand my character. And sometimes they'll say, oh, why are you wearing, because I wear the traditional white heeled shoes. Why are you wearing lady shoes? Why are you wearing that costume? They think because I wear the all in one costumes with the big shoulders and the sticking out pockets where it goes down to the legs. And they'll say, oh, why are you wearing a dress? And I say, well, it's not a dress, it's a traditional clown sack is what it's known as. And sack is just S-A-C, spelled sack the French way. And that they don't know that, and I have to explain it to them. Whereas if I worked in a circus in Italy or France or Germany, that's still a lot more widely known, and I probably get a round of applause just for walking into the ring, and they know straight away who I am. But here in the UK, I have to work a lot harder to establish myself and my character. But, you know, it's all part of it. And in the towns like Billericay, where we visit every year, people do understand that.
If you are the last one in the UK, then what's the reason behind the disappearance of that character?
I think in circus, trends go round, fashions go round. you see it not just with clowning, but with all the acts at the moment. Motorbike acts are very popular. All the big circuses have got motorbikes. In a few years' time, that will probably disappear. It'll be something else. And with the clowning, this craze started probably in the early 90s. A clown called David Lariblé started it with coming in the ring. He doesn't speak, he's silent, but he just brings people out of the audience. They enact maybe an orchestra or a movie with them doing the different characters. There's lots of variations, and then everyone started copying, and it became a craze. And it's just like the current trend is that is what the clowns are all doing, because they all copy each other. I think also, whereas you used to have the big musical clown acts with the white face clown and two or three comedy clowns, these acts were expensive. It's, you know, whereas a clown working alone is cheaper for management to book rather than a troupe of clowns. That's partly it. And also, I think the clown phobia side of it, you know, circus directors are thinking people are becoming scared of clowns. Let's steer away from that, or just have a clown with minimal makeup, you know. And I think that it's all those things, you know.
Yeah, they all combine and they all end up with this end result.
Absolutely.
So then, with you and Chris, what is it about the two of you and that act that just clicks? Why does it work so well between the two of you?
Well, people say to us, they ask, you know, what does it take to be a clown? And we've had reporters down, can I be a clown for the day? And it's a great piece for the paper. But you can put a red nose and a wig on someone, but they can look completely awkward and like a fish out of water. It's more than just a red nose and a big pair of boots. It's all to do with your character. And I think for Chris and myself, our success lies in the fact that we are ourselves in the ring. Okay, it's a magnified version of ourselves, but if you could see us in real life, you'll understand that I am a control freak. I like everything to be perfect. I'm very highly organized. I like everything to run smoothly. Chris is not like that. He is a practical joker. He loves playing tricks on people. He gets bored. He likes things to be different. And he loves winding me up. And so, basically, yes, we just magnify it in the ring. It's things like when we work out our routines at the start of the year. I like everything to be scripted. I like to know exactly what's going to happen. He hates to rehearse. He's like, yes, it'll happen on the night. Just see what happens. Go with it. And which is fine. Lots of good comedy comes out of improvising, and something might work as an accident one night and then we'll think, oh, we'll keep that in. But I do like it to be keeping to the script, I have to admit. And he gets very wound up by that, and I get very wound up with him by going off the script sometimes.
Is that where most of the ideas then for the act come, just by you living your lives outside of the ring, and then you take that inside?
It's challenging because a lot of the established clowns in Europe will do maybe one or two routines, but they keep going to different circuses, so they'll only ever do the same couple of routines throughout their whole career. But because we are based at Circus Wonderland and we do a lot of the same towns every year, we can't just do the same stuff. We have to change. So that is challenging every year, thinking, what can we do this year? We can recycle routines after a gap of 3, 4, 5 years. We think, oh, we might bring that back, but put a different spin on it. It's essentially, yes, me being, I have some idea or plan, and K-Cole upsets it. This year, a large box arrives, and it's a collection of antique plates that I've acquired, and I say to K-Cole, keep away from the plates, they are very expensive, they are very fragile, you keep away from them. And of course, by the end of the routine, there is not a plate left because they've all been shattered, you know. And it'll be something similar next year. Don't do that, K-Cole, and he will do it, you know. The funny thing about the plate routine is it's one of our favourite routines. We haven't done it for quite a few years because we've had trouble sourcing the plates. We used to go to the potteries in Stoke-on-Trent and ask for the reject plates, because it had to be they call them biscuit plates, the ones that haven't been glazed, so that when you break them, you don't have all the sharp bits and they break a lot easier. So we used to go with a truck and fill it up with all the reject biscuit plates they didn't want. Well, they've stopped all that now because of health and safety, because people used to get them for plate smashing in Greek restaurants, and school fates used to have them, you know, when you put the plates on the shelf and throw balls at them to knock them off and all that kind of thing. Well, there must have been an accident somewhere or other because they've stopped it all. So for years, the last sort of 3 or 4 years, I've been trying to find a place to get plates made. I've looked into making them, companies that supply ceramic plates for pottery painting. But when you're talking a pound a plate and you want to break 20 plates every show, it's just not feasible for us, you know. So it's been on a back burner. But this year, we have finally cracked it. We are making the plates ourselves, or rather, K-Cole is. We've got some moulds. So on a day off, he's in his lorry making plates all day. He's got 10 moulds, so he can make 10 plates at a time. They take about half an hour, and then they're dry enough to take out of the moulds. We have draining racks everywhere in the tent, in the lorry, in the caravan, with plates drying in draining racks. And he can churn out maybe 100 in a day. So, yeah, so all the spare moments are spent making plates just to go and smash in the ring. So it is kind of crazy, but we do love the routine, so it's worth it. But the funny thing is, on a plate making day, you wouldn't believe the mess it makes. It's all over K-Cole, all over the floor of the lorry, everywhere he goes, because it's the sort of the white powder. He'll go in the caravan and open the door, so it's on the door, it's on the table. He leaves a trail of it everywhere. So then I'm screaming at him, K-Cole, look at the mess you're making! And it's just like our act in real life, because he just makes such a mess making the plates. But, it, you know, it's quite funny, but it's definitely worth it. Yeah. But I think people have no idea as well when they watch the show. They probably think it's quite funny, but they don't stop to think, where did those plates come from? They've got no idea of the hours of preparation
that have gone into that moment. Yes. Exactly. It sounds very chaotic, that preparation-wise. And I suppose you often hear the cliche of run away to the circus, and it's that circus lifestyle. Is that in itself a chaotic, frantic world to live in as well?
It can be, definitely. We always say it's a lifestyle, not a job. You have to do it for the love of it more than the money. But yeah, it's relentless. You're on the road. Well, we start at the beginning of February. We rehearse and get the show open, ready for the school half term in February. We're then on the road, moving usually every week or 2 weeks. So we'll have shows all week, finish on a Sunday. Everyone helps with packing it all down, the seats, the lights, the tent, all back in the trucks. We hit the road, we're travelling, we arrive late at night at the next venue. Monday morning, they're up early, they're setting it all up again. Everyone has to help. And then we're open again until the following Sunday, then it all starts again. So yeah, it's, you're even on a day off, you're doing something, you're building the tent up, or they're all out leafleting, doing publicity. The performers in the show are also making candy floss, helping in the ticket office. Everyone has 10 different jobs. That's the only way it can work. So yeah, it's nonstop. And, you know, it's great in the summer where You know, it's like camping. Everyone sat outside the caravans. We have barbecues together, and it's like a sort of a family atmosphere. It's not so much fun at the beginning and the end of the year when, like, you have all the weather. Like this year, we started in February. We had freezing cold weather. All the water pipes were frozen inside the caravans. Then we had snow. We were trying to open, and it was just thick snow, and we couldn't get the tent warm enough, and we just had to cancel. You know, then the grounds with all the rain, the grounds, we lost two different grounds because they were too wet to drive onto. You know, so we did have a pretty hard start to the year this year. Then it seemed almost overnight to go to that heat wave. And then when it's too hot, the people aren't interested in sitting inside a tent. So that really was bad for business as well. The World Cup, when there's 24 million people watching England play a football match, you just can't compete with that, you know. So we've had a lot against us this year. I just hope the end of the year, they're saying it's going to be quite a mild autumn this year, so that will be really helpful for us. But yeah, it's what I'm saying is it can be a hard life. You know, we've had grounds where we're trying to move off on a Sunday night. All the lorries are bogged down. We're winching them all off. It can take all night to get the stuff off of a field. You know, it can be very difficult, but it can be a lot of fun as well.
Exactly. Swings and roundabouts. There's the glamour side, if you like, but there's certainly the unglamorous side if you're winching trucks off of a boggy field.
Yeah.
But you say it becomes a family, essentially. Does those hard moments, like the winter you talk about, does that always bring you all closer?
Yeah, I mean, you start the year and a group of people from, we've got people from Romania, Moldova, Spain, Italy, the UK, Hungary, you know, you're kind of all thrown together. And it's not like a job where you go to work, then you go home. You're working, you're living together as well. There are ups and downs because you're living so closely together. You know, there are people fall out, they make up again the next day. You know, you're living life all together in a little bubble, really, a circus bubble. And it is intense. But yeah, you do come together. It's a very strong team ethic. People sort of say, oh, how long does it take to put the tent up? And it takes 3 or 4 hours, but everyone has their own, especially by now, we've been doing it since February, so it's like clockwork, really. Everyone knows their different jobs. And if someone is missing for whatever reason, if they're ill or something happens, everyone notices if that one person isn't there, because you will have to sort of compensate. But yeah, it's a very closely knit team.
Mm-hmm. And referring back to the glamour side, if you like, or the positives of the job, and I think I read before coming down here that the Popolinos, for example, they're an award-winning duo of clowns, because I think I'm right in saying that they got the best circus comedy act at the Circus Friends Association Awards 2 times, I think.
Well, you've won that. I hate to bring it up, but bring it up.
We'll bring it up. It's things like that, getting recognition like that, and even just the recognition from whoever is in the audience on that particular night, does that just make all of this lifestyle all totally worth it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you there are nights when you don't feel like doing a show. You know, you're doing 9 or 10 shows a week, and sometimes you think, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I've had a bad day. I've got to put my makeup on now. Do I have to? It's like anyone would feel happy. It's, oh, I've got to go to work now. But if you've got a good audience, it can really lift your spirits. And, you know, sometimes on Saturday we have 3 shows and everyone's a bit like, oh, 3 shows to get through. But you have to remember that while we've done that show hundreds of times, for the children in the audience, that's their one and only time. And they've probably been really excited to come and see us. And so you have to try and treat it like it's the first time for you as well. And I remember on Saturday we had 3 shows, and by the 3rd show I was flagging a little bit. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, I've been struggling with a cold as well. And then the 3rd show, the audience were just wonderful. They were loving every moment, and it just puts you on cloud 9, and it does carry you through. And then we get lovely Facebook comments and emails to the show, and I always respond to all the emails because they come to me personally, and I say thank you so much for taking the time to get in touch, because, you know, people are very quick to complain, but it takes a lot for someone to think, I'm going to write an email to tell that circus I enjoyed it. And we appreciate that so much, and it does make all the hard work worthwhile. It really does.
Exactly. And we're sitting here in the field in Billericay, obviously. What is it about places like this where you keep coming back? Is there something special each time you come back now? Because I think you said it's the 7th year.
7 years in Billericay. Yeah. I know, it's amazing. Billericay is one of our favourite venues. We've come here every year. We seem to know so many people here. And we have other towns that we visit every year, but not to the extent of Billericay, for knowing people and for the interaction with the community. And it's quite incredible. I think it just must be something about Billericay or Essex. The people are so friendly. They like to be entertained. They love the circus. They're very loyal. They, you know, we have people that come every year to see us without fail. And you know, I probably won't be able to picture them now, but I'll see faces in that audience on Thursday night and I'll think, oh, yes, I remember you. And it's such a nice feeling when you do get the regular people coming back. I went into Greg. Am I allowed to say Greg's? I went into Greg's earlier and a lady in there said, oh, hello, it's Mr. Popperdom. And I was like, it's Mr. Popple. And that's what K-Cole calls me sometimes to annoy me. But I was so pleased that she, you know, and she saw me without makeup and she recognized me, you know, and it's just fabulous. You know, we love all that. We really do. So, yeah, I mean, I go and it's Billericay is great because we're on Sun Corner at the end of the high street. I can just pop over the road and you're in the center of things, and there's not many sites that we are so close to the town. It's just fabulous. And yeah, I go down the street and I just know so many people now in the different shops and the cafes, and it's just fabulous. I'll go over the road to post a letter and I'll be gone an hour, and Kay Collar say, where on earth have you been? And I say, oh, well, I bumped into Irene in the barbers, then I saw so-and-so, and then I went for, you know, it's just fabulous, though. It's like being at home. I think I know more people in Billericay than when I do go home, because I'm never there.
Exactly. I mean, there's one thing we can say about Essex people, that they do love to be entertained. We can always vouch for that. And home is, I think, down Portsmouth way, you were saying.
Well, before. The circus is based in a little village called Wickham in Hampshire, which is near Portsmouth. We're there in the winter, preparing everything for the new, because we do a brand new show every year. So we'll arrive back in November, but we're booking new acts, designing new posters, programs, leaflets. K-Cole is out and about booking sites. We do a lot of our regular sites, but we're always looking for new venues as well. The paperwork for the councils is unbelievable. That's my department. I'm in the office. Because I don't think we've mentioned that K-Cole and I run the show as well as doing the clowning.
No, yeah, we've alluded to it, but of course, yeah, there's
so we are by well. Day we are company directors, and by night we put our makeup on, so it's kind of a crazy life doing the two roles. But yeah, so the winter time, everyone says, oh, what on earth do you do all winter? But yeah, we are pretty busy. I'm
it's
in the office,
the admin
yeah. side, and then it's all the maintenance, painting, fixing, you know, all the lorries have to be MOT'd and all the equipment painted and cleaned, and it just goes on forever, cleaning and the new costumes, new lights and music and putting the new show together.
Exactly. And I suppose lastly, before we wrap up, if anyone wants to come down and see Circus Wonderland, when are you available? When can people come down and actually see you guys perform?
We are here on Sun Corner until Sunday, the 7th of October, for 3 weeks this year, longer than ever. That's how much we love Billericay. We don't go anywhere else for 3 weeks. But yeah, we are open for 3 weeks from Thursday to Sunday of each of the 3 weeks. We're not open at the beginning of the week, but Thursday to Sunday. Two shows Thursday, Friday, three shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. It's all on our website, circuswonderland.com. And yeah, we are so happy to be back. It's a brand new show. Obviously, well, I've told you about our plate smashing extravaganza. I've probably given a bit too much away about that. But you'll still be amused to see K-Cole throwing plates at my head. But yeah, so there's lots of comedy. But the rest of the show is a whole new lineup. We have roller skaters, bungee jumping acrobats, an amazing juggler from Spain. We have something for all the family.
Exactly. And final question. If someone listening to this was thinking about running away and joining the circus, should they?
I would love anyone to come and run away with Circus Wonderland. It would be really helpful if you had an HGV lorry driving license. We're always looking for drivers. And if you can do a bit on the trapeze as well, that's a bonus.
That's always a bonus. Perfect. Well, Paul, thank you so much for inviting me down here and, of course, telling us about your life, which is, I'm fair to say, one of the more unique stories we've had on this podcast. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you very much. And did I tell you my dream when this all finishes? I want to live in Billericay. I'm going to buy a house here.
And then Mr. Popple can be a full-time <You'll> resident.
Never get away from me.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Follow Essex Live on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram, or go to our website, EssexLive.news.